hit on some specific highlights. And what do we want to do tonight? This is the purpose of what we've done on Wednesday nights, is to give you questions that you can use with a family member, coworker, neighbor, friend that is genuinely searching. I've mentioned to you on different occasions here on this in the Wednesday night series, answer not a fool in his folly. If it's just someone that wants to be cantankerous and argumentative, I don't know that you're going to get anywhere with them. But on occasion, you'll have a coworker and they'll be genuinely looking for the truth. And I want to give you a number of different answers. We've walked through a lot of different things this summer, from is Jesus Christ really God? What about Mariology? What about worshiping saints? What about coming back as in reincarnation? Reincarnation finds its way through a lot of different religions. We have individual religions that believe in some form of temporary dwelling. If I've not made the ultimate decision for the right heaven while I've been here on this earth and everything like that, will my good works outweigh my bad works? And so much of this carries over to other religions. And so we've tried to answer a lot of that. You can listen, I think, to just about all the messages, if not all of them, on our app. And so I'd encourage you to go that direction and catch up on maybe some of those Wednesday nights that you might have missed. Can you lose your salvation? What about other books? Are they the same as the Bible? What about other gods? Does Jehovah go by other names? And we've looked at that, and I pray that it's been a help to you. But what I want to do tonight is just to give you some, I've got about 14 of them. And so if you're taking notes, these are questions that you might use depending upon the circumstances. Now, let me say here tonight, I'm open, and I'll give a little bit of time with each one. I think Brother Daniel's got a microphone over there, and Pastor Chris has got one over here. If maybe there's something that you want to add in as to the answer to the questions that I'm going to give and how you would answer it, I'm more than happy to have some chime in tonight. We're thankful for the studio audience that we have. And so if there's someone that, you know, hey, Pastor, I've had this come up before, I've dealt with this, and here is the answer that I gave. I want all of us to understand right at the outset, our eloquence does not win people to Christ, okay? It's not as though if I use just the right wording and I just have just the right approach that it's going to win them. Let's pretend that you and I, as soul winners, knew everything that there was to know about the person that we're witnessing to. Let's say that we had perfect knowledge of them. Do you think that that would guarantee that they would get saved because of our eloquence? No, it would not. How do we know that? If we had perfect knowledge of the person that we were witnessing to, would it therefore mean that they would absolutely get saved? No. How do we know that that's the case? Because not everybody responded to the Lord Jesus Christ in the affirmative. All right? Would we agree that Jesus Christ is the greatest soul winner that's ever walked the face of the earth? Yes. Would we agree that he had the most knowledge of any soul winner? Yes, we'd all agree on that. And yet there was someone who could walk away from his giving out the gospel. Well, if they can walk away from Jesus Christ, my friend, they'll walk away from you. So do not think that this is all based upon your eloquence or my eloquence. And I don't want you to think either in terms of this, oh, I can't witness to that person. I'll have to get pastor. I don't have a magic pill either, okay? I'm going to probably say the same things. This happened to us in Nepal. We're still praying for our bus driver to get saved, and we're praying that he and his wife will come to know the Lord. But it was amazing at how many different times I heard people say, oh, he's got to talk to pastor. Oh, he's got to, I'm happy to talk to him, but I don't have the miracle answer, all right? I'm going to probably say a lot of the same things that you would say, and you just have to trust the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. All right, it is what brings about the conviction and we understand that they will never get converted unless they hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's walk through these tonight, and I'm going to give you the question, and if anybody wants to chime in with the answers, you're fine to do that, or an answer maybe that you would give. I'll give an opportunity for you to respond. We'll try to go through these pretty quickly to get through them all. By the way, if you say, well, I don't know the answer to that question, these questions really come out of our study for the summer. So you could go back and listen to the messages, and I think you'd be able to develop how you would answer the question ultimately. But there may be some tonight that have additional answers and so forth. I was just talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about a very well-known world religion that in the United States operates this way, but when that same religion goes into some foreign cultures, they bring in all of the foreign cultural religious activity to their religion. So religion leaves America, and it goes to these foreign cultures where they already have religion. And basically then this false religion just brings all of their stuff under its umbrella too. And that is a great challenge, because we go in not to add to people's religion. And by the way, can I just also insert this too? We're not going into all the world to give everyone America's religion. We're not going into all the world to make everybody an American, or to make them a Westerner, or to give them the gospel of the United States. The truth of the matter is, the Word of God was originated where? In Israel. That's exactly right. All right, good. You sound nervous tonight. I don't know if my studio audience is going to come through tonight. That should have been a hearty amen. Yes, we all know it originated in Israel, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. That's right. That's exactly right. Born in Bethlehem. All right. Here we go. Let's walk down through these. I'll take just a few moments, and if there's someone that just wants to digest it and then say, hey, Pastor, here's a way that I might answer that question, or here's how I've answered it before. There's no wrong answers on that necessarily, so don't fear and don't fret. It may be that you'd be a help to someone else tonight. Okay, you're talking with a friend, family member, coworker, neighbor, and you have opportunity. These questions are not in a specific order. So don't like, oh yes, number one, I got to ask that first. No, they're all individual, and you're just asking them based upon the responses that you learn from that family member, neighbor, coworker, or friend. All right, here we go. Is there any other book that is more important than the Bible? So you've got a friend there, you've got a family member there, and you say to them, hey, just tell me, in your religious works and activities, is there any book that is more important than the Bible? And that will tell you a lot. If they say, oh yes, we believe in, and then they fill in the blank and they have some kind of answer from man-made religion. But is there any other book that is more important than the Bible? All right, I've answered that in a previous message. But is there anyone who has a thought that you would like to just make note of, or have the rest of us make note of? When we ask the question, is there any other book that is more important than the Bible? Anyone at all? It's not that every answer, everyone's going to have something to go with it, but just wanted to see. All right. Okay, let's move to number two then, okay? Here we go. You're in conversation, you ask them this. What will happen to you when you breathe your last breath here on earth? Just tell me, what's going to happen to you when you breathe your last breath here on earth? That would be very telling. You got a coworker, you want to delve into spiritual things, and you just throw out the question, hey, have you ever thought about eternity? What do you think is going to happen to us? When this life is done, when we breathe our last breath here, where are you headed? They might say, I have no idea. They might say, I'm coming back in the next life. They might say, it's done. It's all annihilated. We're finished. We have one shot at it. Whatever's done is done. They might say, I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, really? Why are you headed to heaven? Of course, everybody wants to think that they're headed to heaven, right? But you can ask that question. What will happen to you when you breathe your last breath here on earth? All right? Anyone that wants to chime in on that? You say, Pastor, I think I would add this in to that question. Anyone at all? What will happen when you breathe your last breath? And maybe I'm not saying it correctly, but you have some kind of verse that you would like to share with them or something along those lines. Anyone at all? That what would happen if you breathe your last breath here on earth? Anyone at all? All right. Okay, go ahead, Brother August. If you will take that because of the live stream and just say that again, that's very interesting, Brother August.
So I had this kind of conversation with my father. I asked him if he knew where he was going, and he informed me he knew he was going to hell. He grew up Catholic through his whole life, and he seems okay, at peace with it. I threw back, well, you know, you can change that. You can, you know, make the decision, fill in all those blanks. That's kind of where the conversation died. So if anybody else knows of another way to spin that conversation, because not a response I was expecting in any sort of the manner.
Very interesting, very interesting. Again, I want to tag you up with Brother August there. If you've ever interacted with that before, or you've got a verse or a scenario, we want to help those folks, because there will be some that will say, you know, I'm headed to hell and I'm going to party with my friends and it doesn't matter. I'm happy to go there, and they do not have a concept. And so I think a great follow-up to that is just very surface answer is, if I have opportunity to say, well, what do you believe is really the concept of hell? You know, what do you think that looks like? When you say that you're headed there and there's no changing it, what does the Word of God teach us, or what does the Bible teach us about this place called hell? And, you know, again, it really depends upon your ability to do any kind of follow-up, because I'm sure that is kind of an answer that you won't be expecting, all right? All right, good, good. All right, Brother McGuire, go ahead. Right there behind you, Brother Daniel.
So I have experienced that question at the door, and not saying that you have to do it my way. Definitely not any wisdom here, but what I did, you know, usually, you know, the five-year-old question is why. So when the person said, hey, I believe I'm going to hell, or I know I'm going to hell, I just simply say, why do you believe so? And usually they will, you know, they give a spill, and based on what they say, then that's a good leap into the gospel. Because most likely they're going to say, because I'm not a bad person, or because your religion teaches so. Because some of them, they just want to get rid of you, so they say, I'm going to hell. Or they might say, because I'm a bad person, or whatever the case may be. All those are good springboards into the gospel. So that would be my advice.
Directing them around to an understanding that there is something that takes us all there. And that which takes us all there is what? What is it that takes us all to ultimate destruction if it's not addressed? Sin. Sin. And that's a wonderful part of it too, is for us to say we're all sinners. So I'm trying to include myself. You know what? I was in your same predicament because I am also a sinner. If you're out on door-to-door visitation, or you're witnessing, or you have a Bible on your desk, there's a natural assumption that you're a fanatic. All right? And if you're really willing to witness to someone else, then that takes you even beyond the fanatic. And so they're going to ultimately think, well, you've never done anything wrong. And so we are trying to help them understand, I am in the same condition. I'm in the same condition. Go ahead, Samuel.
With people before, where like they've either said, I'm going to hell and it's going to be a party, or nothing's going to happen and I'm just going to go into a box in the ground. And I always said, well, as a Christian, like, we can know that we are going to heaven. And then I take them to the verse where it says that, like, God goes to prepare a place for us and, like, is building us a mansion. And then, like, that leads into, like, the gospel. So that's what I do, and it has worked pretty good.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. All right. Brother Franco, all the way there in the back, I'm going to give Daniel a workout here. All right. All right. Here we go. Brother Franco, what you got?
All right. I think when someone says that they're going to hell and they're fine with it, it's because they probably don't care. They're probably living a very comfortable life. They're probably living a happy life in their minds. So there isn't much to do there, but I would suggest telling them there might come the day where you'll feel pain, you'll feel that you will need someone. Know that God will be there for you. Maybe that's in his last days, maybe it's before he dies, but he might remember that. So it's just leaving a door open to him so he may meet God.
Yep.
Him or her.
All right, good, good. Now you're getting the sense of what we're looking for. All right. Let's go to number three here. Number three. All right, everybody ready? Again, there's no genius behind these questions. You're trying to cause them to think, and you're trying to have them walk away. This could be a parent. It could be a child. It could be an adult child, and you're trying to cause them to think about their own standing, all right? You're dealing with someone that thinks very highly of Mary and even believes that Mary is now even a deity. Ask this question. What did Mary say about her own life and her own sinfulness? What did Mary say about her own life and her own sinfulness? And of course, when we were back in the message there on Mariology, I'll give you the answer on this. In the great message that Mary relayed there in Luke chapter 1, she referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she believed in Jesus Christ as making the difference for her eternity. And some of the greatest words that Mary ever spoke was there at the marriage of Cana, and she told everyone, whatever he saith, that's what we need to do. And so Mary always pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's very important to keep that in mind. But if you have someone that really prays to Mary, believes that Mary is a deity, ask them, you know, what does the Scripture say that Mary said about her own life and her own sinfulness? Number four, do you believe that Jesus was God in the flesh? Do you believe that Jesus was God in the flesh? Boy, this is a great, great question, very probing. When people talk about Jesus Christ, there are some that believe he was a great teacher, some that believe he was a great servant, a great example, even maybe a great leader, a great martyr, but was he God? There will be some that will say, yes, I believe he became a God. He was a created being who became a God. No, the Bible says that the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ had no beginning, and he has no end. He is the Alpha and Omega. Do you believe that Jesus was God in the flesh? Anybody that's had experience in that arena, anyone at all, you'd want to chime in on that one, all right? All right, let's go to the next one then, number five. If Jesus is God, why do you think he would come to the earth? If Jesus really is God, why do you think he would come to the earth? And I want you to think about that for just a moment. Mankind presents to us from their own mind what they envision will happen with a deity that would come down and dwell amongst men. I've talked about it in the messages. But why do you think that Jesus would come down? Perhaps they will say some of the things that I mentioned there earlier. He came to give us an example. He was a great teacher. There is only one individual in all of the Quran to whom no sin is attributed. Who do you suppose that individual is in the Quran? Who? Jesus Christ. When you read and go through the Quran, there is no sin attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is very interesting if you're in fact dealing. Now, I heard Muhammad there. I'm not positive what they say in totality about Muhammad. But we do understand that even in their teachings where he's a good teacher, he was this or that, a good martyr, whatever they would say, they do not attribute to him any sin, which is very, very interesting, even in their religion. And that's maybe another challenge that you could use. Do you believe that Jesus was God in the flesh? And then number five, if Jesus is God, why do you think he would come to the earth? Number six, how many chances do you think that you will get in order to make it to heaven? How many chances do you think you're going to get in order to make it to heaven? It'll be interesting to see how they answer that. I got five opportunities. I got nine lives. I have three chances and three strikes and you're out, you know. Be interesting to see how that they would answer that. How many chances do you think you will get in order to make it to heaven? Has anybody dealt with someone that believes that they're coming back again and again and again? Anyone at all? You care to share? Anyone? All right. I know that they do abound even in our society here, but that's a great question to get them thinking. How many chances do you think that you will get in order to make it to heaven? And perhaps you can even say, if you know of their religious background, you can even say, according to your religion, how many chances will you get? Well, this time I haven't done so well. I'll probably be a fly in the next one. Or this time I've done really well. I'm going to come back as a horse in the next one. You know, I don't know all the ways that they might look at it, but how many chances do you think you will have in order to make it to heaven? All right, Brother McGuire, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to share a story for number five.
Okay.
You know, if Jesus...
If Jesus is God?
Yeah, no. Why did he have to come to earth? Because I know a lot of you remember Andy Marcus, and the night I witnessed to him and when he got saved, that was one of the questions I asked him, because he was saying, you know, and it's actually a good question to ask folks who believe in good works, that believe trusting their good works that will get them to heaven. It's to ask them, well, if you could do all these good works, why did Jesus have to come, basically? So that was one of the questions he asked, he was saying, and I asked him just before he prayed and asked God to save him. So that's kind of just a reminder of him.
Amen.
As I said, it's a very important question in terms of good works, because I have been knocking on doors in this area for the last 14 years since I've joined this church, and I would say about probably 80 to 90% of folks in this area believe that their good works will get them to heaven.
Hmm.
Just because of their affluence of the area and their education of the area, a lot of folks, they give a lot of money to charity, they're highly educated, and they're like, hey, I'm good, you know. So that's a very important question. And to the number six, I would say I have experienced a number of folks that would tell me that they're coming back. From my experience, from knocking on doors and talking to them, is they're normally closed. But what I try to do is I try to ask them open-ended questions. So get them talking as much as possible so I can get the in with them to say, hey, at some point you're going to stop coming back because you're trying to get someplace, right? You're trying to get someplace. That's why you keep on coming back, because you're not doing enough good. When does this end? You know, when do you finally make it? And then I can show them the assurance I have in Jesus at some point when they give me a chance.
Amen. Again, going to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's one chance. All right, number seven, we're going through these. I don't know if we'll get through them all tonight, but that's okay. I'd rather have the input from everybody. Number seven, how do you believe that man came into the world? How do you believe that man came into the world? This tells you a great deal about what they're going to say as to whether or not there's any accountability. It's interesting how we believe that everything has a creator. If I were to tell you that any part of anything that you see here tonight, that it just appeared out of a shoebox because I set a firecracker into the shoebox with a number of different components and it was all of a sudden full of order and structured and set there before you, you would say, Pastor, that's impossible. If I told you that I took wood and fabric and staples and put it all into a big box and that pew came out, you would say, that's not possible, Pastor. If I told you that I just put a bunch of random pieces of paper into a shoebox and then threw in an M80 and all of a sudden it was all together, bound and organized and categorized and everything like this, you'd say, Pastor, there's no way that's possible. If that were the case with my watch, if I took all the parts from a watch and put them into a shoebox and blew it up, out came a gorgeous Rolex. You're like, well, Pastor, give me the shoebox and the firecracker. That's fantastic. You'd say, that's no way that would happen. Somehow, people believe that that's exactly what can happen to the globe. And everything that you and I see in the world and in creation and even in our bodies is an impossibility from an explosion standpoint. And so starting with that question, how do you believe that man came into the world? We've got a response here. Brother Brian, go ahead.
Pastor, I was going to say that I have found that being in a scientific engineering type of job, that you find that a lot in people that have been heavily involved in science and technology. And what I have tried to do at that point is most people like that think very methodically about things, and you want to try to get them to the point, to your point, is chaos doesn't come from, or I should say, organization doesn't come from chaos. And I would suggest for people to just walk them through that and get them to think about how a complex being such as we are and a complex earth that we live on could have come from such chaotic explosions or whatever else they believe in, and get them to the point that it is really a belief that they have. There is no factual basis in anything that they have studied, and that they have just come to a belief that that's the way it's supposed to be, because they refuse to believe that there is a divine creator.
It's a refusal of a divine creator. Exactly right. Great stuff. All right, anybody else want to chime in on that? Right, you've got good hands going up here, putting Brother Daniel there. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Brian.
So one of the things that I've used, and it kind of depends on context, but you know, if you're in a place where you're outside someone's home, you know, usually there's a lot of conversation. Hey, you have a beautiful yard. You have a beautiful, you know, this or you know, something along those lines. And when that has come up, you know, ask someone, hey, do you know where you're going to go? I said, I don't believe that at all. And the talk of evolution or coming from nothing comes up. And I said, well, that's very interesting. One, that's a very bold statement. That's a very powerful statement. Where do you believe that? No, I believe it from this and that. Well, I'll look at something that they've made. If I've sat on their yard, man, this yard's beautiful. It's very well kept. You know, this yard shows that you've put effort, energy, and effort into this. It shows your hand and your workmanship, or you know, something along those lines. I said, this yard, as beautiful as it is, the human body, human mind of itself, infinitely more complex than that. And if we look at this, you would say, surely this someone has put work, effort, and labor in putting this together and efforting. How much more us from this? And I haven't seen someone get saved, but I've definitely seen a light go on in terms of a level of doubt in what they thought before, but also willingness to accept something that they would have rejected, because it's just, there's such a logic and flow to it. And then, of course, Scripture. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and God has created the heavens and the earth. You know, we look at the magnificence of creation, even with all of the problems, but the complexity and how it all works together shows forth a creator even much more than your yard or your building or something else. So that's something I've used to at least get someone to open up and be able to get a tract in their hand or the gospel and open up a conversation.
To go to Brother Brian's point, Have you met a genius gardener? Have you ever met a person that's a genius at gardening? And they just have the best looking vegetables, the best looking, you know, all this stuff, and how everything's just, and to say to them, man, that's amazing that all that stuff just appeared like that. You know, I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but are they offended? Hey, buddy, you don't realize how much time and effort goes into making that happen? You know, those tomatoes didn't just fall out of the tree or whatever, you know. And trying to help them understand, listen, I recognize this takes a master hand. And, you know, I'd also think of as Brother Brian was talking, I'm thinking about a 1968 Chevy Chevelle. And if someone has worked hard at restoring one, putting it back together, and it's sitting out there in the driveway, and you say to yourself, man, that's amazing that car just all of a sudden appeared like that. And they say, are you kidding me? It took me 20 years to make that or to restore that. But I mean, again, helping them to understand something that they see every day actually applies to the genius of our Creator. There's another hand there, I thought. Someone else? Go ahead. Here, we'll get you a microphone here.
Going back to the chances, how many chances do you get?
Okay.
How do they think they come back? Do they come, I mean, you know, when you're asking somebody, how many chances do you get to come
right
back to? I mean, then when you go to the question of do you believe that, you know, how man came into the world, so what would be their answer? Does anybody have any idea?
Well, you know, I mean, again, if you're in certain religions around the globe, they just say it's an innumerable number of times until you get it right. So I don't know if, you know, an interesting question to follow up with would be something like this, do you know anybody that's on their second or third time, you know, or something like that. But I mean, if you believe in some kind of a heaven that is out there, they won't call it heaven, I don't think, but you have to do well enough in this life, and then all of a sudden you just appear there. But I don't know if they'd ever say, well, it takes seven times or, you know, six times necessarily in a lot of those religions where it's reincarnation, you come back again and again. All right. Anything else on that one there? And I'm hesitant to give one more, but because we can finish up the other half. Anything else on the creation side of things? Anything else? I would challenge you to take a few moments on the creation side of things. As you have opportunity to maybe go and spend some quality time on YouTube, if you go to Answers in Genesis, they have some tremendous 10 to 12 minute videos on creation, how the world came into existence, on the flood, how the flood is reasonable, how it makes sense that Noah got the animals on the ark. There's about a dozen of them, if I'm not mistaken, and they all find their roots there in Genesis 1 through 11. And I'd encourage you, if you are dealing with a coworker, family member, friend that's really struggling with their faith, that's an avenue that you can take. And you can even watch them and then direct that person to see them as well. And we're coming on every single one of these. We're coming back to, I think, what Brother McGuire said or something else that was floated there. We want to ultimately bring them back to this: man has been created and man is a sinner. And somehow man and his sin must be reconciled. Somehow that has to happen. When we get together again and I'm here, we'll deal with the other seven. But great investment tonight. Thank you so much for chiming in there. Keep that set of notes handy, and I'll give you seven more when we get back together again. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so very much for our time tonight. I pray that this has been a help for our congregation, for those that are here on campus, those tuning in. And Lord, as we have opportunity to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the acknowledgement that He is the great Creator, and that all of us have been conceived in sin, and that our sin ultimately deserves a punishment, and that there is a way to address that sin while there's breath in our souls. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to understand that it is not in our eloquence by which someone will ultimately get saved. The Bible says that God gives the increase. We plant, we sow, we water, and the Lord gives the increase. And so I pray that we just be diligent about sowing the seeds of the gospel. Bless these folks as we dismiss tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness to the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for being here tonight. Thank you for your investment. May God bless you through the remaining part of the week. Thank you.